Hope tonight will be a help and encouragement to you. Would you open the Word of God tonight to the book of James, James chapter 3. It's probably going to be a three-part series. I started on Wednesday night. I'll preach tonight on this subject, and then Lord willing, I'm wanting to finish it on Wednesday night. But we'll see how that goes. I've put Revelation on hold a little bit. We'll get back to it. And my greatest reasoning of dealing with that subject was because of all of the, confusion because of what's happened this year. And we needed to get back to what the Bible said. And so really the things that I wanted to cover, we have covered. Now we're going to continue to look at that. But I'm just going to be quite honest with you. Some of that I need a break from. You say, well, why? There's a lot of judgment going on in that book. And praise God, I'm thankful that we ain't going to be during the tribulation period. Somebody say amen. Revelation chapter 4:1 is there, and I'm thankful for that. I want you to look in James chapter 3, verse number 13. Let's begin reading here. James 3, verse 13. The Bible says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, look at this word, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Heavenly Father, speak to us tonight. Use your word in Jesus' name. Amen. We spoke Wednesday night and we just dealt with wisdom and knowledge. By the way, there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. The Bible said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? So he deals with those two subjects. I love how James just comes out of the gate firing here. And he says, listen, who is wise among you and full of knowledge around you? He's asking the question. I mean, he comes right out of the gate and says, all right now, I'm hearing around here that a lot of you are saying you're full of wisdom and you have knowledge. Here's what he says. So he asks the question, and then he gives the qualification. Don't tell me about it. He didn't say tell me about it. Don't talk a good talk. What did he say? He said show me. So if someone is a wise man endued with knowledge among us, let him show out of a good work. Didn't say let him talk it. He said let him show. So here's what's amazing about wisdom is he said, look, if we're going to find people that are wise and endued with knowledge, you would think that you would find those people in amongst the ranks of God's people, right? God's people should be full of knowledge, and they should also be wise. So he's asking the question in the ranks of Christians, who is among you that is wise and full of knowledge? So we understand that he deals with wisdom and knowledge in this passage. We talked about knowledge. Someone can have knowledge and not be wise. Knowledge is gathering information, knowing things. And by the way, as a Christian, we should desire to learn. We should have knowledge of things. We should be well-rounded in a lot of things. And I even said, in this day, we have so many resources. You know, when I was a kid, you know, if you didn't have an Encyclopedia Britannica, you had to go down to the library. Well, now even a child can get any information they want with a click of a button with someone. And by the way, if I was a parent and I had a small child at home, I would not allow those children to have free reign on that computer. By the way, I'll go a step farther. If I had a teenager, I wouldn't let them go free reign on that internet, because I'm telling you right now, unfiltered, that thing has all of hell on it. It can be accessed very quickly. And by the way, if someone has the idea, say, well, my young fellow wouldn't do that, I've never met a young fellow that wouldn't. Some of that's normal. Young men are young men. Ladies are young ladies. Young girls are young girls. They want to find out things. And if there's things there to be found out, but what I'm saying is we ought to be people full of knowledge. We have resources today. We should be Christians that do have knowledge. We do have a learning, a desire to learn. So we also talked about wisdom. I just simplified it. What is wisdom? Who is a wise man? Now we're going to look down here in verse 17, and we're going to look next time I preach on real true wisdom. Tonight, I'm sad to tell you, we're going to have to preach on counterfeit wisdom. Counterfeit wisdom. And it's real, church. Now, when you talk about something that's counterfeit, that's really close. But it's not the real thing. And do you know how people that are trained in spotting or detecting counterfeit money? You would think they would be trained by looking at the counterfeit and studying it. That's not how they're trained to detect counterfeit. They are trained on studying the real bill, the real thing. And so if we will be a studier, and we will have the real thing, we will be able to identify the counterfeit. And so wisdom is vital. I summed it up on Wednesday night. Wisdom is putting God in the center of everything we do. We're putting God as the focal point of everything we do. Every decision we make, every direction we go, it's putting the Lord. Wisdom takes the choices of life, the directions of life, and as we're navigating through this journey, a man or a woman that has wisdom is putting the Lord in the center of all of that and operating out of the presence of the Lord and being spiritually led by His Word, by His will, by His promises. And we're putting the Lord in focus of everything in our lives. Wisdom. It's not neglecting the Lord. It's not taking a small decision and saying, you know what, I can handle this, God. This is a little enough decision. I can handle this. No. Who is a wise man among you endued with knowledge? Let him show. Thy actions will show. So wisdom is vital to navigate through life. Wisdom is vital to navigate through relationships. By the way, life is wonderful when relationships are wonderful, but there's nothing more miserable when relationships are miserable. So we have to have wisdom to be able to navigate. It's necessary. It's vital. So keep in mind, as vital and as necessary as true wisdom is, there is always a counterfeit. There's always a counterfeit. There's always something. For instance, we've said this many times. If you love something, you know, let's just talk about the church a minute. The Bible says God loved the church so much that He gave Himself for it. The Bible tells us in the book of Jude to earnestly contend for the faith. What's that mean? Now, a lot of people don't like that aspect of ministry or Christianity because everybody just thinks we're supposed to lay down and let everybody railroad us. Listen to me. God says we are to contend for the faith. What's that mean? That's the word we get our pugilist or our boxing term from, a contender that wants to take the championship belt. He's contending. He's striving. And as Christians, we have to strive. We have to defend something that's vital, which is our faith. By the way, we believe that God loves the church. He formed the church. He is the designer of the church. And the Bible said He loved the church so much that He gave Himself for it. Do you think the church is vital? Absolutely. So why do you think, if something is so vital, why is it always contested? Because anything that is important and vital and necessary, the devil's wise enough to understand that if that's so important, if wisdom is so important, if it's so necessary to navigate through life, he also understands the importance of degrading it and creating something close but not the same. Looks like it, that sounds like it, Pastor, but how can we identify counterfeit wisdom? That's what I want to preach on tonight. We find it right here in the Scripture. Let's look at number one. This is important. Let's look at the motives. Now, I want to say to everybody here, motives matter. If you don't ever learn anything else tonight, you get that down. Motives matter. Motives matter. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because look what the Bible says in verse 14. But if ye have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts. Now, I'm telling you right now, James gets down to the nitty gritty, boy. He is not dealing with the circumference of the outside circumference of a man's life. He's not dealing with the fruit. He's not dealing with what they look like and how they're dressed. No. He's not dealing with any of that circumference. Here's what, he goes straight to the heart. He said, here's the problem. If your motive is wrong, it's because your motive is wrong in your heart. He deals with the very inward being of a person. So I want you to understand the motives in your hearts. Verse 14, he's not dealing with the outside of the circumference of a man's life. He's dealing straight with the heart, which is dealing straight with his motives. And I want to just say this. Sadly, religious people can do the right things for the wrong reasons. Did you hear me? All of us are capable of doing the right thing for the wrong reasons, therefore it's wrong. Let's get the motives right. Let me give you, for instance, let's say that our church needs a great offering. We have a great need, and by the way, we don't. And I want to say this to everyone. No one said anything to me, but here's what's amazing to me. Through this whole pandemic, we're great. Financially, we're fine. We're great. There's been no problems here. I think the church needs to know that. God's been good to us. I mean, here, this is what's amazing, Brother Don. We don't even take up offering plates anymore. I mean, that was the cardinal sin in a Baptist church for years. Don't forget an offering. Don't forget the offering plate. Don't forget the offering. Well, you know what? We ain't passed out an offering plate since February. Miss Kyla? You know better than I do. We all right. Lights are still on, aren't they? We still supporting all of our missionaries, aren't we? We actually, and I'm supposed to give some Christmas bonuses out today. I forgot to hand them out. So Brother Don, you need to see me. Brother Jim, you need to see me for your wife. Miss Donna, you need to see me. I mean, we're all right. Is everybody okay? So I say that because, listen, motives matter, and I don't know what I got off on that for, but I just thought all of you needed to hear it. But the motives in your hearts. Oh, I know what it is. I was saying this. We are capable of doing the right things, and we do it for the wrong reasons. For instance, let's say we were in financial trouble here, and someone comes to me and says, Pastor, We've got a need. We don't have the funds. I said, all right, well, I'll tell you what, that's a good work, and it's good. God wants to bless that. So I go up here and I rob the bank. Nobody knows. You know, I put my mask on. And by the way, if anybody wants to rob something now, they surely can. You know, back in January, if someone walked up to a store or something with a mask on, everybody, now it's like, man, if you don't have one. So, I mean, you think about it. It's crazy. Our granddaughter and our little grandson, I mean, they live in a day where they think it's normal. You know, when I was a kid and I seen someone walk in the restaurant and they, look here, I'm uncovering. Right? But let's say we have a need here. And by the way, I think everything we do here is a blessing. God wants to, it's meant, we're about souls, we're about helping people. So it's a good thing. So I'd say, all right, Pastor, we need to make, all right, I'll tell you what we'll do. God, this is good, it's right. So I'm going to go up here and rob the bank. Is that right? Well, the ministry's right, but the way I did it's wrong. It's the same here. We operate in a day where we feel like just because we're doing the right thing, we can do it for the wrong reason. Listen to me. That's not the right wisdom. The motive's wrong. Let me pull out these verses here where he talks about what are the motives of where this false counterfeit wisdom comes from. It's interesting, but look, bitter envyings. That's an interesting, see it there in verse 4. But if you have bitter envyings, I'm going to say something. That gets right down to the heart of things. Look, here's what that means. Y'all already know this is ugly. People don't like to talk about this. And most people won't confess this publicly or even privately. But here's where this motive's coming from. That means that someone cannot bear someone else's success. They're tore up because somebody's been blessed. They've even given themselves to humiliate or degrade when they should be thankful that someone else has been blessed. Now look, we don't like to talk like that. Nobody's going to say, oh yeah, I've felt that way before. But the truth is, we all have to fight it. But that's places people don't want to go. And that's things, oh, I tell you what, I never feel that way. But you check that when your child's sitting on the bench and another child's playing. Come on now. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. And you know what? That's motivated a lot of people to act like they're wise. They start scheming and they start doing things, but just hide back and watch, because I can promise you this, it will fall. It will not have the right result. Why? Because it looks good, it sounds great, it sounds like that, sounds like wisdom, and man, they've got a point there, but the truth is, God says the motive is wrong. Bitterness and envyings. In other words, God help us. Look, this is very personal. He's dealing with very personal motives here. By the way, you say, Pastor, does preachers ever get like this? Look at me. Yes. I've been in meetings before. Well, how many did you have Sunday? Well, I tell you what, we had so-and-so. Well, what's your, you know, here's amazing. Ain't nobody talking about it now. But I've seen them. I've seen other people, other churches downgrade other churches. I'm just going to be honest with you, because maybe they're not quite doing. Look, this is what he's talking about here, the motives. Nobody wants to talk about it, but it's things we have to deal with. And here's what I'm going to ask all of you tonight to do. Examine your heart. If anything's motivated for the wrong reason and you're trying to do something for the wrong reason and the motive is wrong, look at me, God's not going to bless it. And I'm going to go a step farther. Here's what I would pray all of us as we sang the song, as Miss Donna was playing. Search us, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. Here's another good word David used. Purge me. Because if anybody sitting here tonight say, oh, I would never be motivated to do things by bitter envies, you're sitting here and you're not being honest. It's something all of us have to struggle with. It's something that we have to ask God to help us and keep us far from that. The motive, bitter envyings. Then look at the next word, strife. Do you know what that word means? It reveals the motive of selfishness, promotion, promoting self. By the way, this could be very political in nature. If you notice all the political ads, they're always talking about themselves, and what are they doing? They're degrading someone else. That's what this strife looks like when God speaks about this motive of strife. It's selfish promotion. We hear a lot of words about this. We've heard a lot of words in our society today. You know, but by the way, I don't think we should use worldly names. I think we should use Bible words. But you know, we have a lot of mental things that go on today, or narcissism and all of this stuff that we hear today. By the way, narcissism is nothing but strife. Strife is about self-promotion, self-advancement. The only thing that's ever thought of is self. The only person that any decision is made from is because of self. Everything that my world revolves around is self. And so therefore, my motive of every decision, my wisdom, the way I operate, the way I motivate through life has everything to do with self, but it kind of looks wise because I'm smart enough to hide it a little bit. But the truth is, I'm trying to promote myself. God says, it's a wrong motive. Strife. It's advancement for self, self-centered, self-satisfying. And these are motives behind this false wisdom. Here's the key to all this. Let's just be honest. Examine our motives. How are we navigating through life? I'm going to be honest with you. Here's how I would have this out. Lord, is there any of that in me? Am I doing anything promoting in our church that has to do with me? I'm going to be honest with you, church. I do it all the time. I ask God to help me all the time. Because I'm going to be honest with you. It's very easy for me to only get my eyes on me. But you know what? I can't do that and faithfully and God-honoring lead this church and be thinking of myself. And by the way, I could con some people. I could make it sound spiritual, and I could put some little tags on there with little spiritual innuendo and say, oh, wow, I tell you what. No, no, no. Our motives, it should never be about strife. Bitter envies and strife are motives that cause us to navigate and to act a certain way that might look like wisdom, but God says it's false wisdom. So he's got to get down to the heart of it. And by the way, this is where Christianity comes in. This is where our personal relationship with the Lord comes in. Do you, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to ask you, and you think about it, do you stay close with God in him examining your heart and life? That's a good question to ask. I believe folks that are really, it's not because they're perfect, it's not because they never fail, but they're always examining themselves. By the way, we just had the Lord's Supper. What was one of the things that they said in the Bible of Corinthians about the Lord's Supper? What's so important about that is we are examining ourselves. Nehemiah, when he had a lot going on in his life, here's what he said, and that's what this principle is. He said, so I talked to myself. He said, I consulted with myself. Do you ever consult with yourself? You know why we don't like doing that? We don't like what we find. We need to consult. Mark? What'd you do that for? Help me, Lord. Am I doing that? Is that right? Am I doing that the right way? Can you help me? Send somebody across my path. Give me some encouragement. Help me with that. Am I making that? Lord, am I right? And sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, and some men around here and some other folks know, sometimes I'll ask you, I'll say, look, can you give me some thoughts on this? I want to do things right. For the right reasons. So we see its motives, it's based on the wrong reasons. Then let's look at its menace. Its menace. Look at verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. My goodness. You're telling me just because I'm operating with bitter envy and strife, I'm making decisions because someone made me mad. I'm making decisions because I'm envious of someone else's blessing. You're telling me that because I'm thinking of myself and I'm not thinking of anybody else and I'm navigating through life like that, that that's not smart? No, he says it's not smart. It's not godly wisdom. He said, look, let me tell you what this kind of wisdom. You living that way, Mark, or anyone else living that way, navigating through life that way, he said, what it is it's a menace. Dangerous. It's destructive. Look at the words. I'm just going to be honest with you. This I could also call this wisdom, not just counterfeit wisdom, but this is wisdom from hell. By the way, I believe that we can require a certain superficial wisdom but has not come from God. What does it look like, this wisdom from hell? Well, the first thing he says is it's earthly. Now, we all know what that means, earthly. That just means purely worldly. In other words, here's a good way of looking at it. Your wisdom is working horizontally to get you from point A to point B in this world, but it's not working vertically between you and God. See, that looks wise in this day. Oh, we got to be a success. We got to work. We got to navigate in this life. Yeah, we do as Christians. But my wisdom and my motives should not be, well, I want to get from point A to point B. Look, I want to get closer to the Lord. So it should be on a vertical scale, not on a horizontal scale. But there's so many Christians that have got caught up in this wisdom of the world, and they want to be more pleasing to the world than they do the Lord. Y'all know how many times as your pastor I've said everything's spiritual? How many of y'all think y'all ever heard me say that? Everything is spiritual. What's that mean? That means that when we're living in this life, that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And so we do not get caught up in the temporary worldly thoughts. We have a higher plane. We have a higher goal. How does that affect me? So this earthly wisdom is purely worldly. It's working on a horizontal scale. It has earthly standards. It has success that is stamped by approval by the world and by the earth, not the Lord. And it never gets past the earthly hemisphere. It's just right here. By the way, I'm glad we live in America. I'm glad, praise God, we're Americans. But I want you to know something. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm an old pilgrim just waiting to get home. And I've seen so many Christians, they've done knocked their feet so deep down in this world, and they're so clinging to the world, and every decision they're made is based on the world and on the earth and everything temporary. I'm afraid they're going to be disappointed with the trumpet sounds. Earthly. Then notice the other menace, the other description. It's sensual. Sensual. This wisdom is sensual. It's counterfeit. It's not the real thing. But here's what it's sensual. In other words, it's flesh, not spiritual. The ability has no yardstick for spiritualness. It's the opposite of the Spirit. It's the lack of the Holy Spirit. Question. I preached on forgiveness this morning and reconciliation. Do you know to do that, you have to have the aid of the Holy Spirit? Because you're not going to do that on your own. You have to have divine help. Because I'm going to tell you something. If somebody does me wrong, my first instinct is certainly not to love on them. I don't care how long you've been saved. Your fleshly desire is to get revenge. If that's not true, then why does God say time and time a time in His Word that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? Because He knows us. He knows our characteristic to want to get it ourselves. Bible says, in my flesh dwells no good thing. My heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So to live in this wisdom, to have this wisdom, we have to be yielded and allowing the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to be honest with y'all. That's tough sometimes. Because every time the Holy Spirit speaks, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't always like what He says. Are y'all with me? Conviction's real, but it's tough. I'm thankful for it, but it's hard. But this sensual gives an idea that it's not spiritual. It's all in the physical desires. And I'm going to be honest with you, church. I'm just going to be completely honest with you here. Sometimes you really, really got to examine to determine what that is. Because, you know, I'm going to be honest, we've lived in a day now where we've come up with all these little cliches that we've given excuses to be fleshly and to be sensual, and we've just kind of, it's okay that we're not living in the Spirit. You know, we come up with little sayings like, well, God understands, does He? I don't think He does. If sin was sin, and He died for that sin, by the way, He still looks at sin that way. And here's the thing that amazes me about our God. He didn't let sin pass, and we're so quick to let it pass. By the way, I'm for forgiveness, but I want you to know there's consequences to sin. So it's sensual. And then lastly, it's devilish. That's a strong word. This wisdom, this counterfeit wisdom, it's opposite of good. And to be quite honest, it's evil. Here's another word that has to go along with this word devilish: seducing spirits from hell. Not good results, very damaging. Operating with counterfeit wisdom. And then lastly, its marks. Here's what's amazing about this. If you keep reading this passage of Scripture, here's what it says. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Look at verse 16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now here's the marks of it. Number one, he hits two things here. Number one, inward. Number two, outward. Look at the verse. First, he says inward. Here's the marks. This is what happens when this wisdom, when we're dealing with the wrong motives, we're navigating through life, we say, oh, we've got wisdom from God, but it's not wisdom from God. It's this sensual wisdom. We're being navigated and motivated by the wrong motives. The Bible says where envying and strife is, there is confusion. For where envying and strife. So here's the end word. Envying and strife gives confusion. Now, here's what's interesting. Confusion is brought on by envy and strife. Discord, trouble, instability, divisions, not clarity. See, the wisdom of God is clear. For instance, let's deal with what we dealt with this morning. If we take God's Word and apply God's Word to our life, out of 2 Corinthians this morning that we read, we realize very clear, because the Apostle Paul said, because I have been forgiven, because I have been restored, therefore God has given me a spirit of restoration. I have a desire to forgive others. Isn't that clear? You understand that. How many of y'all been saved? How many of y'all been forgiven? Okay, well, if it's clear, 1 + 1 = 2. So if you're saved, that's a normal tendency, very clear. If we're letting the Lord work in our heart and life, I don't have to be browbeat over the head to forgive someone because I realize God's forgiven me. That's clear, that's simple. But when things get complex and muddied up and you can't get to the bottom of it, that's because we've got this false wisdom working. There's instability. By the way, there's been many divisions and splits in churches, discord because of this false wisdom. That's inward. By the way, it's confusing in the heart. You tell me, y'all saved, you know the Lord. How long can you go to sleep at night and not get convicted over something? I mean, I want y'all to think about that a minute. Do you know the most miserable people on the earth right now are Christians that are not living for the Lord? You know why? Because the Holy Spirit's trying to convict them, and they're refraining. They're absolutely repulsed. They're grieving the Spirit of God. They're miserable people. They're confused in their heart. But do you know when I've been less confused? Why I'm in my right relationship with the Lord and I have the right motives. The Christian life's very simple and clear if we motivate in the realms of the right motives. And then quickly, and I'm going to close, we see the marks inward. There's confusion brought on by envy and strife. But look at the outward. Here's what really jumped out at me. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, when you say work, what's that? Whenever you work, that's actions, isn't it? Works, actions. Now, stay with me. So how can you spot counterfeit? Well, just hold on, you'll see it. Because you know what? Whatsoever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Just give it some time. Hide and sit back and watch. It'll reveal itself. And all God's people said, it's where we are. Why? Because here it is. Envy, wrong motive. Wrong motives produces wrong actions. For instance, why did Haman build the gallows to hang Mordecai? He had the wrong motives. So his real true wisdom, and by the way, he was very wise. He had everybody suckered for a while. Right? Y'all know the story in Esther? Haman had him, man. He had Mordecai. He was going to hang him. He done all that. He was wise. But here was the problem. Here's his problem. He was jealous of Mordecai. His motive was wrong. So therefore, by the way, just hide back and watch who was hung on them gallows. Wasn't Mordecai. Listen to me now. It was Haman. Why? He had false wisdom. His actions showed. Another biblical. Why did Cain kill Abel? Why did his actions come out? Because in his heart, we know that he was trying to deal with worldly wisdom, devilish wisdom. Because by the way, if you just think that he just wanted another way to worship God, listen to me, he was trying to pass up the blood. And by the way, there's a whole lot of false religions today that the same thing was done by Cain. They're trying to get saved without the blood. A religion was false wisdom. By the way, it was devilish. And how did it show? He killed his brother. His wrong motive brought him to a wrong action. Now look at me. Your wrong motives will bring out the wrong actions. It's false wisdom. Here's what it says. Motives turns into works. And the Bible says it's every evil work. So look, it never promotes anything truly desired. By the way, everyone that operates by this wisdom, they lose. Because it's devilish. It's earthly. It's sensual. It's from hell. There's confusion and an every evil work. So I say, by their fruits ye shall know them. Just sit back, hide and watch. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't know if that's on the up and up. Well, do like I do. Just sit back and watch. Because if it's motivated by the wrong wisdom, it will prove to every evil work. Y'all with me? How many do y'all want evil works for your children? Nobody. So look at me, Mom and Dad, don't operate this way. Oh, it might think you might win for a little bit. I'll tell you what, I got my way. You don't get your way. Because at the end, the Bible says that this earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom, it ends in every evil work. And again, by our fruits, you shall know them. Who is a wise man among you? Let him talk. Let him show. God help us to be real. God help us to do less talking and do more showing. And all God's people said, how many of you would like to do more showing and get to the house? Would you stand to your feet?